Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Ireland's classic hits.
This week there has been a lot of talk about education. And I'm sure children all over the country, many of them are delighted today because they didn't have to go to school. But some of you are in school, so a lot of your parents will be listening. And there's a conversation all across the country about primary and secondary school. And there is a lot of talk about the national school curriculum in recent days. But what about the SPHE? Curriculum in secondary schools. The National Council for the Curriculum of Assessment, the NCCA, is currently finalising and updating social, personal and health education curriculum that's to be rolled out for the junior cycle students from September. It's almost there. I don't think they've got it completed. But anyway, it will address things like gender identity, pornography, and I assume talking about the objectification of each other, both men and women, when it comes to pornography. And also sexual consent, amongst other things. The Minister of Education, Norma Foley, has said parents will have the right to withdraw their children from sex education classes if they're concerned, at both primary and secondary school level. But some politicians are against that idea and believe that parents shouldn't have the right to opt their children out. But anyway, mate, we want to know, will you be opting your children out or will you be leaving them in? Let us know. Send us a text to 087-188-0008. And by the way, let us know in your text if you're talking about primary or secondary school as well, because I think that's really important. Age makes a big difference to this conversation. But here to talk to us about the new curriculum is the Education Officer with the ASTI, Maura Layden. Maura, good afternoon to you.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Niall.
A lot of talk about education.
Where does one start?
I know, 25 years, I believe, since we last updated, you know, the sex education or the SPHE or the primary school education, sex education. It's been 25 years since we've updated it. And I suppose it had to kind of move into a modern world. A lot of parents reacting badly to it. Do you understand why they might be?
Well, I think when you don't know about something, one can have reactions that probably aren't necessarily, will not necessarily be realised, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think you're right, Niall, to start off. I think it's very responsible of you to, if you don't mind me saying so, to start off with, I suppose, the fact that it's that the curriculum itself was introduced in 1996 and relationship, sexuality, stroke, social, personal and health education. It was an integrated curriculum. So we just call it SPHE. But essentially, the aims of the curriculum haven't changed substantially. What has changed is the content, and I'll come to that in a moment to address the kind of the issues that parents and others have fears around. But I think it's very important to communicate to your listeners that the aims of the curriculum haven't changed in essence. And essentially, the curriculum really is about developing life skills. And when we talk about life skills, what we're really talking about is developing social and emotional skills such as self-awareness, awareness of others, self-management, the concept of responsible decision-making, and the whole area of respect thinking of consequences. I mean, these are fundamental life skills, whether it's in your...
But it was something, by the way, something we otherwise didn't learn about. Maura, I'm not going to even ask your age because that would be very rude of me, but I'm 59 and I remember
we're kindred spirits.
Okay. Well, the best sex education I got in school was the biology book, and it was page 64, the female and male reproductive system, and there were drawings. So that was the best education we got in school. So children nowadays, I suppose, are very lucky in a sense that we go into it in a more social and responsible way, I imagine.
Absolutely. But, and it's very much about, you see, it's not just the SPHE curriculum, but the entire debate, for example, on changes to the Leaving Cert curriculum is about student well-being must be at the heart of any curriculum change. So the SPHE, as I say, the focus is on developing core life skills, which stand in every domain of life, but the content has changed somewhat. And I quite agree with you. This notion of social relationship and sexuality education being reduced to biological differences is utterly, unhelpful in terms of the world that children live in nowadays. And of course, part of that world is the digital world.
Now, Simon Harris did say, the Minister for Justice, or the standing Minister for Justice, that we must keep everything scientific and fact-based. And that's really important, of course, for education and academia as well. Because, of course, as well as learning sex education and social and personal skills, children are learning biology as well. So we can't have the two obviously conflicting with each other. So it's important that we stick to facts and stick to science when we talk about things. But it's also important that we teach children not to judge each other and that people can be what they want to be or identify how they want to identify without being judged.
I think the things the curriculum, I think you're touching on all the right spots. I mean, one of the things any curriculum does, whether it's for mathematics or geography or SPHE, it tries to make sure that what's being taught in schools and how it's being taught is actually relevant to the world that children live in and will live in. I mean, there's no point in teaching the curriculum that's relevant to the world where you and I grew up in. Children are living in an utterly different world, and I think it's important as well to realise where the impetus for this curriculum change came from. And the impetus for this particular change, shall we say, for the review and the expansion of the topics that will be addressed, that came in 2018 from Minister Richard Bruton after the very disturbing, shall we say, learning that society did around what's called the Belfast rape trial.
Oh, I remember that, yes.
That disturbing period, which really was a profound social moment, I think, in Ireland, north and south, Minister Bruton, Minister for Education at the time, directed the National Council for Curriculum and Assessment to review the SPHE to take into account the following, and if you bear with me, consent in relationships, the whole area of contraception and sexual health, I mean STIs, all of this thing, positive sexual expression and relationships, safe use of the internet, and also looking at and enabling students to understand the social, the impact of social media on well-being and self-esteem. And also, of course, the whole spectrum of sexualities, LGBT+. I have to say, I think Minister Bruton, I said it at the time and I'll reiterate it, I think he was very, he had great foresight in saying that the curriculum must engage with these issues. These are the issues which are facing young people.
And what age group, sorry for interrupting, but what age group, because I remember when my kids are all in their 20s now, but when they were younger, I think it was called the Safe Sex Programme or something like that, as far as I remember.
Well, that was a little bit different, and that caused, that actually, God, you're good, that you know all your stuff. That is a slightly different, and that was where the SPHE programme came from. If you recall, God, way back, and when was it? Was it 1990? We had this horrendous, probably the first time it exploded onto the public arena, with the Kilkenny incest case. And it was, many of our listeners won't be familiar with it, but basically it was an explosive expose of an extraordinary abuse of a child. Everybody ignored it, the medical practitioners, the teachers, the society, the neighbours, etc. And after that horrendous abuse of a very young girl, the Department of Education decided it must introduce a programme called,
Was it the Safe Sex programme?
Yes, Safe Sex. Yeah. Well, no, it was about basically children being aware of right and wrong. It's now what we would call the child, it's now basically an awareness of child protection.
Mm. Okay.
But out of that phenomenon, as I said, the SPHE programme was introduced to give students the wider set of skills to understand, as I said, relationship self-management.
So what age group are we talking? So they go into school at what, secondary school at 12 years of age?
They have an SPHE programme in primary schools.
Okay. I'll come to that in a second. I know you're not a spokesperson for the primary schools.
Kind of tabula rasa. You know, they're coming in from a very integrated, well-developed primary school curriculum. They come in then to second level and they have 3 years in junior cycle. So the program, and then they have this program, and then they move into senior cycle, and they will have, shall we say, a more, they shall have a similar content. But to see, so it is for the entire cycle.
Okay, but I'm assuming all stages of this, from the age of 12 to 17 or 18 when you finish school, I'm assuming it's age appropriate.
Oh,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah.
That is the key word. And I mean, I just thought you said something introducing your program about age. Age is the key. And this is where the skill of teachers is critical.
I was going to come to that, by the way. In relation to the teachers, I don't know what or how they feel about the new programme, and I'm assuming some will have reservations about aspects of it, etc., etc. I know this might seem like a silly question, right? But do teachers have the opportunity...
Would say there's no such thing as a silly question.
I feel like I'm in school now. Sir, miss, I'm putting my hand up here, but Myra, okay. is there such thing as, say, for example, different people have different religious beliefs, they have different morals, they have different ways of teaching their children, etc., etc. So is there such thing when it comes to a teacher as a conscientious objection? So in other words, if a teacher is not comfortable teaching a certain aspect of sexuality to children, can they say, I'd rather step out on this one, you can get someone else to do it? Do they have that opportunity? I'm just curious.
Well, I think teachers, not so much, actually one of the things teachers will kind of blasé say to you, I deal with this in my classroom every day. We just now have it formalized in a program. The most unexpected things crop up in classrooms. Classrooms are very intimate spaces. You're with your peer group, the same class, the same time, every week. You hang out with them at lunch. So people have quite strong relationships in it, and things will crop up that have nothing to do with geography or something. So teachers are very, very skilled, and they have hugely... They have a deep experience with working with young people and getting signals and being able to know when this is serious or this is lighthearted. So teachers don't have what we would call a conscience clause, and I've never heard a teacher ever suggesting there should be one. The reservations that teachers have is, this is really strong stuff. I mean, you're talking about things like consent, coercive control, pornography. Mm-hmm. So do I have the skills to do this? And teachers' reservations primarily stem from the fact of feeling unsure about their confidence to teach these difficult issues, particularly as you move on and as children get older, where there can be very, very challenging issues coming through. Mm-hmm. So we were delighted last year when Minister Foley announced that she is putting on a postgraduate training program for teachers to be able to teach this subject.
And I think that's really important that they're all singing from the same hymn sheet. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And you're dealing, I mean, I think, you know, you and I, here we are on the air, and of course we're being circumspect. But if you get two adults in a room talking about issues like consent, about sexual health, about their feelings, about their body image, you know, their body and all of this. These are deeply, people are very vulnerable in this space. And when you're talking with students, it's really, really important that teachers are uber confident and knowledgeable as well. And one of the key demands, I suppose, to come back to a trade union perspective on all of this, is that if teachers must be skilled, they must be confident, they must be supported, but also, for this to really work well, we need to get away from this 30 kids in a class. The international standard for good personal and social education is 15 children.
There was 47 in my class.
There you go. Madness.
I know.
That must have been a great teacher because you did well. So class size is really, really important.
Absolutely.
This. And we are making this point. I mean, the ASTI does... We have obviously inputted into the curriculum as in all curricular areas. And then our job, once the curriculum, shall we say, is ready to be delivered.
And when will the curriculum be ready to be delivered?
And the
question, when it's ready to be delivered, is there somewhere online that parents can go and have a look at the contents of the curriculum and
absolutely.
The subjects that will come up so they can decide themselves as a parent? Because now the minister has said that parents who want to opt their children out, and remember again, for people who's just tuned in, we're talking about secondary school. This is not primary school. We'll come to that in a second. But in relation to secondary school, can they go online, check the contents of it, and then make their own decision as parents as to what that, if they want that for their child?
Of course. And I have to say, in my own experience at both primary school level as a professional and at second level, the vast majority of parents trust schools to do this work safely without infringing.
But that's not what's coming up. And I hate to be a little bit controversial here, but this is not what's coming up in the Red Sea poll. It's not what's coming up in our listeners by text. When we spoke about primary schools, now I'm not talking about secondary, during the week, you know, we did it about topic.
That's a different issue, I mean, in the sense of, maybe could I just park that for a moment to give your listeners the space to go to the online space, because this is really important.
Okay.
That's very good advice to direct them to the actual curriculum. In fact, I have it in front of me. It's National Council for Curriculum and Assessment, ncca.ie.
Okay.
But if they just Google SPHE Junior Cycle 2022, it'll come up.
Okay, so that's for people who want to do that. It's ncca.ie.
And all of the curriculum is up there for
okay,
primary,
so that'll give you an idea what they're going to be teaching. Okay,
so
now,
that's good.
Okay, let's get to the question, okay, because I don't want to keep you too long, and you're very good for saying as long as you do. And I know you're a representation, or you're the education officer for the ASTI, which is primarily secondary schools. But as you know, there has been a lot of controversy this week, including most ministers, in the Taoiseach himself, getting involved in relation to primary school. Now, we're into a different kettle of fish here because we're talking about 7 and 8-year-olds. So, you know, do you accept the reservations that it seems the majority of parents, according to Red Sea, the majority of parents have in relation to some of the aspects of sex education or relationship education that has been suggested for primary school?
As I said, the content is delivered in an age-appropriate way. So no teacher is going to stand in front of a group of 9-year-olds and talk about, very, very explicit
That's not the problem, but what they have an issue with is, and I'll give you an example at a caller on during the week.
I don't want to prevaricate.
That's fine. Okay.
So I'd like to answer properly.
Okay, there was a caller on during the week and he said, I completely object to my 7-year-old being told the 74 genders. So that's the kind of questions parents are asking.
Yeah, but I mean, I have to say now, without dismissing that parent's concern, I mean, that's a perception that there is something on the curriculum about 74 genders. So you're quite right to direct your parents to look at it. I think the most important thing that, you know, the education system is complex. There are different religious ethoses and none in schools. And our system has been very successful, I think, in managing to engage with challenges in modern life. And yet the ethos of the school is not undermined. And in fact, it's strengthened by the fact that people feel valued and that diversity is recognized.
Well, the Catholic Church believe their ethos has been undermined.
Well, you know, when you look at the way schools function, there's a huge degree of trust in schools in our society.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what we need to say to parents is, I would say to parents, and I'm a parent myself, albeit one like yourself, they're gone. I think what I would say to parents is, go and talk to your school principal. Ask for a copy, particularly at primary school, ask for a copy of the program that's been taught to first class, Nínán Beaga or Six Ranga Sé or whatever. The same thing with your secondary school if you have issues. And when the Minister Foley came out last week or so, parents have the right. That's not a new phenomenon. That has been there since 1996. So it's absolutely implicit. And in fact, this has always been a right that we respect.
And you believe that right should be sacrosanct because there are ministers calling for that right to be removed.
Well, I think the ASTI's view is that you know, we in our legislation and in our practice. Because, you know, practice is also important. The rights the rights of parents and the partnership that schools have with parents at school level and at system level is important. And I think we have to maintain trust between all of the partners in education. And where you have a phenomenon where parents feel that I really object to this program, I feel my child should not have to be in a class where we are talking about, shall we say, gender identity, not to mention gender, multiple identities. That parent has always had the right to withdraw their child, and that is never an issue with school.
But if the majority of parents, and I'm just saying this, and I'm only going by the reaction we got on this show during the week and the reaction to the Red Sea poll, which is an official poll, a state poll, right? Or it's sanctioned by the state. If the reaction to that is that the majority of parents, we're talking about primary school and not secondary school, I think at secondary school children can make up their own minds to some degree. They're very educated young adults, I suppose, and they can make up their own mind as to what they believe is right or wrong. Okay, we're talking about young children, 7-year-olds, and the majority of people listening don't want that type of education for their children at 7 years of age. They want their children to obviously be aware of the world around them. They want their children to be non-judgmental of people who feel differently or different sexual orientations or identify differently, and that's perfectly fine. But they don't want things to be given to their children as fact that they don't believe are fact. So what I'm saying is we have to be very careful that if the majority of parents are saying this, that we're in a situation where we satisfy everybody. And I know that's a difficult balancing act.
Yeah, well, I suppose I'm lucky, or the ASTI is lucky. It's not our call to make that balance.
No, I know that. Yeah.
It's the ministers. But I do think, you know, the curriculum is shaped in Ireland by a partnership model where you have the teachers, the parents, the academics, the experts, and indeed the public debate that the media so importantly provides the space for airing the concerns, because people, policymakers and politicians listen. And that's really, really important. And I think you're using the word if that is the case, then obviously the minister has to have a response to that. But I suppose I am working with the teachers' union. I am extremely familiar with the work of schools, and I know that there is a huge degree of trust by parents in the school system. And there is a huge degree of trust between by pupils with their teachers, and they look. And they expect and they want guidance. I mean, if you look at kind of one, it was very interesting in the consultation process around the development of this curriculum at second level. And the students were saying, we want more, and we want our teachers to discuss these matters with us because we trust the way they can handle it.
And you know what, that's wonderful. It's wonderful to hear students get involved in their own education and what they want. But we also then as well, and more so I keep going back to primary school, we have to respect the wishes of parents as well, because ultimately they're the guardians of their children and they're the ones who have a right to raise them in whatever way they want to raise them.
Yeah, of course. And that is the whole point of a national curriculum, is that one of the strengths, I think, and I often think we don't reflect on it enough in our education system. We're a very small country. No matter where you are, you're a school in Stranraer or in Donegal or down in Dingle or in the East Coast, you are being taught a common curriculum by teachers with standard qualifications, with expectations, who have to follow the legislation. So we don't have this model of a system whereby you can pick and choose, and therefore you can get good and bad depending possibly on your economic status. We have a very good open and public and democratic system. So when ministers and governments make decisions that we now need to change a curriculum to reflect the modern world, to reflect the digital issues, to reflect the profoundly different cultural milieu that our children and adolescents are growing up in, we have to trust that that's been done with the best interest of the students and their families at heart.
I would like to trust this.
Come back to my point. Where it is a case that parents in a school feel this is inappropriate for their child, the withdrawal facility has absolutely always been there. And it's highly respected, and I need hardly say it is highly confidential. This is not a big deal in schools. It happens all the time. The child is in a different class for that period, or if they're at second level, they're doing working on their own or whatever.
Okay, so they do have, they will have the right to withdraw, and you respect that, right? Listen, it's been lovely talking to you, and thank you very much indeed for coming on.
Thank you, and I'd be delighted. I mean, I think this is really important, as I said earlier. I mean, it's so important that the media has these discussions because people can feed in and they can reflect. And I would advise all your listeners, particularly the parents of younger children, to go to the ncca.ie and look at the documents and look at what they're aiming to do, and to trust the schools, but also go and talk to the principal if you really are not sure about this. This is their job. They will listen to you.
Okay. Listen, thank you very much indeed, Moira Layden, the Education Officer for the ASTI. I should learn Irish. That's what I should do. I should have learned Irish properly when I was in school. See, Jane, you never warned me she was going to say goodbye in Australia. After the break, I'll be talking to Alison O'Reilly, by the way, for all those people I've spoken to over the many, many years that I've been doing the daytime show, about the mother and baby homes. We have so many stories. So much so, actually, we covered it so much on this show over the last 12 years that it was put forward for an award, and the show won the World Radio Award 2 years in a row. And most of the content of that award was in relation to the mother and baby homes in Ireland, because, of course, these boards were given out in America and Americans had a huge interest in that particular story. I'll be talking to Alison O'Reilly, who's the journalist who broke that story of the Tuam babies going back all those years ago, and also to get an update on where we are now. It seems like we're kicking it down the road constantly because there's thousands and thousands of people all over the country, mothers and babies, who are waiting patiently for the government to pass this legislation and set up the redress. Everybody believes the government are purposely stalling it because the longer they stall it, the less people will be alive to claim it. Because many of the mothers, of course, not so much the children, because most of the children were around my age, most of the mothers from those mother and baby homes, they're probably all in their 80s now, a lot of them, maybe a bit older, passing away. And the longer we leave it, the less money the government will have to pay out. I want to know, maybe you are in that situation. Maybe you're waiting for that money. And also, by the way, if you have any reaction to Moira Layden and the ASTI, the question I'm simply asking you is, will you be opting your child out of the new SPHE curriculum in September? Primary or secondary, will you be opting them out?
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
All right, let me go to John. John, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you doing, John?
Good afternoon, love. How are you?
Good. John, you're going to opt your kids out.
If I had children, I would.
But opt them out of what? We don't even know what it is yet, really, do we?
Well, out of sex education, really.
Out of sex education.
Yes, because I believe that children should live very innocent lives.
Say children, what children are we talking about here? Primary or secondary school?
Primary.
Primary school. Okay, so should they learn about relationships in primary school?
I think that should be more more or less when they're in secondary school.
So they shouldn't learn that mammies and daddies, or daddies and mammies get together and have babies?
No, because I think they're a bit young. No, but
they're 11 years of age, 12 years of age leaving primary school. They're sixth class, they're 11.
Yeah, but to me, I'd want to leave them live their own lives, you know, and as they get older, then they'll pick
so
up.
So what age do you start talking to them about? I'm not talking about, you know, sex or anything like that. I'm just talking about relationships. What age do you start talking about relationships?
Around the age 12, 13.
When did you see the first time you saw a girl and you kind of found yourself attracted to them? Can you remember?
I was about 14, 15, 16. Now.
Did you? And you before that, you never thought to yourself, she's nice. She's a nice girl.
No, because
I never thought, I don't mean in a sexual way, but just she's a nice girl. No, little crush.
Because the thing is, you see, I was uprooted a lot when I was younger, you see.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And I couldn't really settle there anymore, bless.
Okay, so you'll be opting out. Okay, let me just go to Graham as well. Graham, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you doing, Graham?
Good, thanks, Niall. How are you getting on, mate?
Good. This is the last time you can have an argument with me during the day, Graham. You're sitting on your arse now, usual school teacher, carry on. I might as well have a go at you.
Exactly what? It's your last day. I won't even retaliate. Go on, have a crack.
Ah, some job, isn't it? 4 months off a year. Are you off for the
four
snow?
And
four and a half months. Are you off for the snow today as well? Huh?
Can't see any, but if anyone let me on, fair enough. I'll take it.
Right? I remember that in school, by the way. Do you remember sitting in school with your coat on you, even though it wasn't that cold? Sir, it's freezing and the radiator's not working.
Do you know, sir, it has to be 17 degrees or warmer. If it's below 17 degrees, we have to go home.
Oh, that's it. That's it. That's it. My hands are freezing. I can't write. Graham, I mean, look, I know there's been a lot of talk about the SPHE over the last week, and, you know, both in primary and secondary school. I think it's fair to what we were just talking about earlier on, that parents should get to see what's in it before they have an opinion on it to some degree. But in saying that, you know, the polls this week do suggest that parents, in the majority, are not too pleased about it, or at least have concerns.
I think I've yet to see those polls, and how can you have a poll on something people haven't read?
I kind of agree with that aspect of it. But, you know, okay, well, let's just answer what I asked Norma earlier on there when I said, I had a parent on during the week who said, I don't want my 7-year-old learning at 7 years of age the 74 genders. How do you react to that?
They're not being taught that in school. They're being taught there are different genders. There is not some big list being put up on a wall and they're being drilled into it. That's not happening. That's pretending, making up, gaslighting bollocks. That is most likely, I'm not saying exclusively, but mostly pushed by people who are transphobic or homophobic or whatever.
The language not everybody. In the middle of the day. Anyway, I don't want to get into trouble on my last day. Go on.
It is all made up.
But it's not all. No, it's not. Well, hang on. It's not all made up.
They're concerned that someone, a teacher, is inside with students teaching them, here are the 74 genders.
Well,
that's not.
No, that was just what somebody said to me during the week. And what I'm saying to you is, you know, or to be talking to students at 7 years of age or 8 years of age about referring to people as they's, he's, z's, b's, whatever, I don't know, whatever the names they use nowadays.
Niall, you do know it. You're just deliberately pretending you don't.
Well, I'm only asking. No, but the point I'm making is that the polls this week show the parents are concerned. Should we not be taking their concerns seriously?
But they're nebulous.
You can't just wash the concerns away.
They're nebulous concerns, not based on factual information. If someone can say, here is a thing in this curriculum, this exact word, this is what I have an issue with, then yeah, we can debate that, of course. And being honest, if they have a concern, there's a decent chance I'll disagree with them. But that's fine. People can disagree. But all of it right now is people having concerns, in inverted commas, based on nothing.
Well, somebody says, no, get him off the show. He clearly has no kids. Yeah, well, he actually does. I will be getting him off in a minute, and he'll never, ever be on the daytime show again. I'm just going to make sure.
And he's a third one coming in a few weeks.
Okay, well, stay there for a second. But great. James.
Afternoon to you, Niall.
Afternoon to you, James. You're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. Now, James, what are you objecting to? Because it says here James is going to take his kids out. You'll opt your kids out.
I'd be objecting to exact people like Graham. You know, Graham's ideology of it with it. As you mentioned, the 74 genders, when Graham's law, it's amazing, Niall, that if the polls suited Graham, it'd be perfect. But the fact that it doesn't, when the narrative doesn't suit the liberals like Graham, like these people who are trying to force this agenda on parents like myself,
Well, hold on. Hang on. He's not forcing anything, because if you really don't like it, you can opt your kids out. So there's no force.
Exactly. I will do. But the thing about Niall is, my two daughters are both in secondary school. We've had that conversation with them. My son is 11. He's in primary school. I will have that conversation with him. It's not up to the likes of Graham to push his agenda, because he thinks that, because he has my son all day. And he would just say, oh.
Well, hang on. With respect to Graham, and I rarely ever say that, with respect to Graham, Graham is a school teacher who follows a curriculum. He doesn't invent the curriculum.
With an agenda, though. He has an agenda.
What's his agenda? Okay.
Well, his agenda is, as you can hear him, he's a raging liberal with his 74 genders. You know, to me, there's two genders.
That's the other one saying that wasn't being taught. I'm saying that wasn't being taught.
Well, it shouldn't be taught, because there is only two genders, male and female.
That's your view. His view would be widely different.
Have a read and figure out the difference between sex and gender, because they're not the same thing.
Well, they are intrinsically linked, but however, Graham, I'll let you.
They weren't linked. I said they're not the same thing, and they're not. Okay. That's a fact.
The simple fact, but the really ironic thing about it, and what was actually in my text when I put it in, the three people who are pushing this the most in government are all childless. That's the really ironic. You have a minister for education who has no kids. You have a Taoiseach who has no children. And you have a minister for kids who has no kids.
Well, the previous two ministers for children actually had no children.
No children either. So
I don't know where we go with that one, James, because we had a minister for health. We had a couple of ministers of health who didn't look the healthiest people in the world. You know, we had a minister for education who never got a third level degree education. We had a minister for transport who didn't even have a driver's license. So there's nothing unusual about a minister. Because they delegate.
Bertie didn't even have a bank account.
And he was the minister for finance.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, but the point is, ministers delegate. You know, they delegate to, inverted commas, experts who are supposed to be good in their field. So it's not really necessary most of the time, and I'm going to defend them and say, for them to have children, to make decisions around issues that involve children.
God, Niall, it must be something in the water in your last day. You're defending government ministers.
I'm not actually defending them. I'm just saying there's nothing unusual about that.
But you have these...
But I'm going to agree with you that the three people you mentioned are all quite left-leaning. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely left-leaning.
Leo Varadkar is not second left-leaning.
Yes, he is. I would just stop out of that, for God's
sake. Fianna Gael are not second left.
Hold on for a second. Are you telling me that Leo Varadkar is not left-leaning? Will you give me a break, Graham?
Absolutely not, because the leader, Fianna Gael, and they are not a left-leaning party. Oh. Left-leaning on social issues does not make you left.
Okay. You can feel like that, Graham, if you want to. But go on. Sorry.
I can.
So, James, what are you going to do? So your kids will be sitting in another class twiddling their thumbs while the other kids in their class... And by the way, are you talking secondary school here, James?
I'm talking primary school. Talking for my youngest. Because we've had the conversation with my two teenage daughters. They know the difference. They know male and female. They know the difference. They know what consent is. Their mother taught them that. And then when it comes to my son, I'll be teaching that. And so will my wife. We will sit down. We will explain to him what it is. We'll explain to him what consent is. We'll explain to him the rights and wrongs of this, that, and the other. It's not down to a teacher. It's not down to the education system. And the thing about it is, why is this being...
Literally in
no,
the
it's not.
Part of our
no,
job.
It's not. It's my job to raise my child, not the school system.
I didn't
it's
say
my
it was,
job.
But it's also the education system's job. It's literally in the curriculum. You might not like that, and you're entitled to not like it, object it, and look and campaign to change it all you want. But to say it isn't part of our job is not true. It is.
It's not your job to teach that to my child. That's my job as a parent.
Well, not your child. They're not in my school, probably.
Well, I mean, I kind of agree with both of you. I do believe a parent plays the ultimate role in raising a child, their morals and what they believe they should and shouldn't do. But I also do believe, James, to be fair, the teachers are not just there to teach academia. They're there to teach social skills and get a child prepared for the world.
Okay, yes, I can give you that.
Yeah. So I'll agree with both of you on that.
You're being very diplomatic now. This is so fun. Come on.
That's the last daytime show. I've got to be a little bit diplomatic, lads. I've got to go to a break. Thank you very much, James. Graham, it's been wonderful. Put the feed up there. Get yourself a glass of vino. You know what I mean? Take it easy.
Will do.
When's your next holiday due? Easter, is it? Midterm or something like that?
Actually, we've got a short week next week, Paddy's Day. We have Thursday and Friday off.
And then probably when you do come back, there'll be like a parent-teacher meeting or a school meeting or a staff upskilling or something like that.
Within 2 weeks, we have Easter holidays.
Then there'll be a couple of service days thrown in where you do nothing as well. You know what I mean? So, great job, isn't it?
Real people. Real opinions. Real Talk Radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show.